Good morning. Is anybody out there? Happy Labor Day weekend. Glad that you are here. You notice anything different in here? You noticed I did a new hairstyle, right? Oh, that wasn't it? That was rude. That was rude. We put a little different look up here. A little different look. Hope you like that. Has anybody noticed that things in our world seem to be a little chaotic? And one of the things that our enemy wants to do with that is he wants to sow fear and anxiety in us, and disunion. Listen to what the Lord has to say in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, you remember what therefore means? Because he's our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear though the earth give way. Does anybody ever feel like, I know I do, it's like, man, the earth is giving way. We will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Because God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in time of need, we don't have to fear. Yes? Are you out there? Are you listening? The Lord's wanting us to hear that. I believe that. So let's worship that God that allows us not to fear. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you in this place. We invite you in every home that's watching the live stream. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are indeed an ever-present help. You are our refuge and our strength. And because of you, we don't have to fear. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up this day. May you stir us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
He became sin, knew no sin, that we might be called his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the Jesus Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, a rescue for sinners, a ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah.
Miss Teresa on that side of the sanctuary for Children's Church.
Good morning, church family. Good to see you on this Labor Day weekend. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through the app. God bless you that are worshiping online with us this morning. You may do so as well. Several things coming up. These are in the bulletin. We're having another men's breakfast on the 18th at 7:30. That's going to be something we do monthly, the third Saturday of each month. But we will need another head count just to get an idea moving forward what our numbers are going to be. So if you register either through the app or through our website, that would be helpful. We have a discovery class on the 19th. If you're new to Wiley Methodist and you want to know more about our ministries or more about our theology, you can meet with our pastor that day at 9:45 in the fellowship hall. It's the room this direction. That's the 19th. And also you can continue to sign up for the Promise October 1st and 2nd, and the women's event, Aspire event, for October 17th. So those are things that are coming up. I understand that Dennis and Ann Reiling just had a anniversary, is that right? 61 years. Ann is a very long-suffering, very gracious. Dennis and Ann are awesome, by the way. Ann told me, said, well, we argued from time to time, but other than that, they're fine, right? Yeah, good to see you guys. Good to have the Carlins with us this morning. God bless y'all. We are not having our Monday prayer time tomorrow because of Labor Day, and typically on Mondays we will pray for our nation, the needs of our nation, the needs of our world, and pray for the church, and we're not doing that tomorrow. We'll pick that back up the next Monday, but since we're not doing that corporately, I thought we would go ahead and do that this morning. So let's do that. Let's engage the Lord this morning, and let's just lift up. Lift up the craziness that's going on. Jeff mentioned that this morning. And I want to encourage you just to connect with the Lord. Just position yourself to where you know that he's here. You know that he's available. And I know all of us have things on our minds from the past week, the week coming up, I think somehow supernaturally we can distance ourselves from those thoughts because we have the mind of Christ and we can connect with him this morning. So just do that, and then I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we're encouraged to rejoice and be glad in that. And in the midst of all that, yes, there's difficulties in life. And some days, Lord, you know it's hard to rejoice. Jesus, you know it's hard to rejoice when you're hanging on a cross. And Father, there's some people here this morning that need a touch from you. Lord, I lift up Janice Carlin and the family. Take great comfort that Bob is in your presence, but it's awful hard on this side of eternity for this family. So be gracious to them. And so many others in our midst, Lord, that need a touch from you. God, would you just supernaturally move and distribute mercy and grace and peace where it's needed? And Father, we lift up our nation, that it's just in turmoil, God. You know full well what's going on. And Father, we want to pray, God, as we continue to meet in this building, you protect us from the virus. We don't want to be arrogant about that, Father. We want to be humble about that, God, but would you continue to protect us in this house? And Lord, with just a glance, just a thought from the throne room, this virus could immediately disappear. And Father, it's created so much, God, pain in families, and it's created so much division in our nation, even between family members and friends. They won't even meet together over some of the issues of vaccines, no vaccines, mask and no mask. We can't even have a school board meeting without just people getting irate. And Father, we need you. God, would you eliminate this divisive spirit in our nation, God? And we pray, Father, that you eliminate this virus for your glory from the face of the earth, and do it in such a way where people know that it's you that's moving and doing. And Father, we lift up our nation that's, again, that's just incredibly divided. The halls of Congress are a mess. And Father, outside of a divine move of the Holy Spirit, we have no hope. Jesus, you are our only hope. And Lord, if the church needs to be woken up, awoken to that reality, would you wake us up? Would you shake us? Would you stir us? Drive us to our knees, oh God. So we become a nation that honors you and glorifies you, a nation that's hungry for the truth. And Father, I lift up the nation of Afghanistan as that still plays out. Father, would you protect those who need to get out? Would you put blinders on the eyes of the oppressors so those people could walk out of that nation? And Father, I pray for the church that's going to stay behind, Lord. I pray, God, for just the supernatural protection for them. Lord, give them boldness. Give those pastors of those churches boldness, Lord. They continue to do your work. And I pray for the Muslim world, God, that they come to know that Jesus Christ is not just a prophet, but he is absolutely Savior and Lord. I pray for holy visitations for that nation. And Father, I lift up the church to you, your bride. Jesus, you're preparing for yourself a bride without spot or blemish, which tells me we have a few spots and a few blemishes. And help us to be submissive to what you want to do in our hearts. Father, use this church for your glory. Use the church of Jesus Christ in our nation for your glory. God, help our hearts to break for what breaks your heart. Help us to grieve what grieves you, Holy Spirit. Use us in this hour. Use us in this time. Shape us and mold us into what you would have us to be. And as I prayed in the early service, Lord, if none of this happens, if all continues as it is, and it even gets worse, God, we declare you are on the throne. You are sovereign. And we will worship no one other. We will pray to no one but you. We will trust no other but you. And Father, we just ask that you move in power for your glory. God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Thank you for Jesus that hung on a cross for us. Sits at your right hand, O God, making intercession for us. And we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you would like to bring forward, you can do that at this time. You can also give online. Well, church, may you feel His presence as we continue to worship.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none.
Somebody else wanting to preach down there? Well, welcome again. Is this on? Is anybody out there? It's like crickets, man. Welcome to our service. Welcome to our live stream audience as well. Glad that everyone is here joining us. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. And there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says guest on it, has a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out. And I'd love to meet you at the end of the service down here in the foyer. We have a free gift for you, and you don't have to do that, but would love to meet you and get to know you. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I started the service off with the first two verses of this psalm. We're going to pick it up in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you and we know you're with us. We ask you now to speak in power and authority. It's the only way you speak. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series I started a couple of weeks ago, Connecting with God. Connecting with God. And today's message is the contemplative heart. And when I think about the contemplative heart, what comes to my mind is our monks. Yeah, this is still on, right? You see out there? And I ran across this story about this monastery, and I just want to kind of read this to you. The monks at a remote monastery deep in the woods followed a strict vow of silence. Their vow could only be broken once a year on Christmas by one monk. That monk could speak only one sentence. One Christmas, Brother Thomas had his turn to speak, and he said, "I love the delightful mashed potatoes we have every year with the Christmas roast." Then he sat down. Silence ensued for another 365 days. The next Christmas, Brother Michael got his turn and said, "I think the mashed potatoes are lumpy, and I truly despise them." Once again, silence ensued for 365 days. The following Christmas, Brother Paul rose and said, "I am fed up with the constant bickering." Well, the laugh meter. Silence. As I said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the relational heart, for people like myself who seem to be energized by other Christians in their connection with God, silence can be, silence can be deafening. I like that. So this can be, it's bad. It can be, make the relational heart kind of uncomfortable. But for the contemplative heart, the person who's wired that way, there's an energy that comes with silence. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But as I want to remind everybody, this series is it's a teaching series, but it's not just to teach us for the sake of teaching us. It's to teach us how to connect with God better. That's the goal, is to connect with God better. Jesus said it this way: "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So if the goal of this series is to learn how we best connect with God so that we can be fruit bearers. Are you with me? Shake your head if you're still out there. All right. So we're going to jump into the contemplative heart. The first thing we need to know, the contemplative heart connects deeply with God through quiet solitude. Quiet solitude. So this psalm that we just read, this verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." So it doesn't say be still just so that you can be still, just be still so that you can calm your nerves. No, it says be still. God says be still and you'll know that I'm God. There's a connection with God through the quiet, through the stillness. Contemplative hearts seem to connect. They feel a need to kind of protect their time and schedules. As I walk through this, some of you are kind of going, "Oh, that's me," or "That's not me." They feel a need to protect their time and schedules. You give these people a Bible and a journal, and you may not see them for days, maybe even weeks. In many ways, as I've said earlier, the contemplative heart is the exact opposite of a relational heart, whereas the relational heart, quiet, can be suffocating, where the contemplative heart can be drained by relationships and activities. When their schedule gets too full, it can really be hard on the contemplative heart. Now, I want to say this very clearly. If you're starting to relate to the contemplative heart and you think that's maybe how God has wired you, those folks don't hate people. They don't dislike people. It's just that they need their quiet time. They need that. Kate, I hate to keep using my poor little wife. Aren't anybody else in this audience glad you're not a preacher's wife? Janice is relating back there. But my wife falls somewhat in this category too. In the morning, she needs her quiet time. And guess where she has it from last week? Does anybody remember? In nature. She wants to be outside with her quiet time. Got an amen on that. But for the contemplative heart, the person wired that way, relationships and too many activities going on can drain them. All right, moving into the next point. Contemplative heart has a tremendous capacity for prayer and meditation. I see this a lot kind of with moms. Not all moms are wired equally, but a lot of moms are contemplative in nature. They have their quiet time where they're blessing their children and praying for their children, grandchildren, and so forth. I've told this story before, but I love John Wesley's mom. When she, I forget, 11 children, I think. Maybe it was more than that. Does anybody remember? A whole, 15 children? I knew it was a whole bushel full. And she schooled them and she raised them, and she was a great mom according to everything we know. But there was a certain time of the day she would sit in the kitchen and she would get her apron and she would put it up over her head. And it's like, you don't mess with mama when the apron's over her head, because mama's having some time with Jesus. I love that. When Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, he tells him, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So there's this, seems to be that kind of connection. I like to think of another term for the contemplative heart that we don't use that terminology very much, but I kind of call these folks a lot of times prayer warriors. Now, and I've told people this, I'm not ashamed of it. I pray for you. I pray for our needs. I pray when things are going on, but I don't consider myself having the gift of being a prayer warrior. It's not how I'm wired. It's different to be a prayer warrior and to be someone who prays. That's two separate things. The contemplative heart, the prayer warriors, have a tremendous capacity for prayer and meditation, which leads me to this next point. The contemplative heart has a unique ability to discern the activity of God. They seem spiritually, this person wired this way, seems spiritually sometimes to be a step ahead of the rest of us on the spiritual realm. They have a very discerning spirit. They're sensitive to the things of God. They seem to know when God is in something and when God is not in something. They seem to know when God is going to move before the rest of us. We have some prayer warriors, contemplative heart folks in our church, and I want you to know, I value you. You are vital to the body of Christ, having a unique ability to discern the activity of God. And that can be hard on, we'll talk about that in a moment, but that can be hard on that person to feel like, I'm getting this, why isn't everybody else seeing this? Anybody? How many of you, as I'm describing the contemplative heart, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you don't mind, if you feel like you're kind of, that's one of your strong ways to connect with God, raise your hand. I want to just get a kind of glimpse of that. Go ahead, keep them up. Don't be shy. Okay. You know, what's interesting, I find that fewer people are connect with God in this way than like the relational and even nature and some other things that we'll be talking about. It not everyone is wired this way. It doesn't make you better. It just means that's how God's wired you. And it doesn't make you better or worse or anything else. Everything that we talk about, every one of these different ways we can connect with God, here's the deal. There are strengths, and there are things we're vulnerable to, whichever way we are wired. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Fourthly, the contemplative heart is modeled by Christ himself. I believe Christ modeled all these different ways, so many different ways to connect with the Father. But a couple of scriptures here that show how he had the contemplative heart as well. Matthew 14, after John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist baptized Jesus and helped to launch him into ministry. After John's beheading, it says in Matthew 14, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. He just needed quiet solitude to speak with the Father to help deal with probably the emotions that he was feeling. Mark chapter 1, after a long day of healing, preaching, casting out demons. Listen to this. I'm trying to relate to this as a relational. I connect relationally. Listen to this. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Can you imagine? they're all hearing that, hey, man, that Jesus is healing people. He's casting out demons. He's doing all these wonderful things. He's preaching the word, and they're beating on his door. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. That's another sermon. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And that speaks to me as a pastor. It's like, you know, you're in that doing stage of trying to do ministry and the activities of all of that. And it's like, man, Jesus, because he was, yes, he was holy God, but he was also holy man. He got tired. And he would go off to a solitary place and there's other instances where people were clamoring to Jesus, wanting him to heal them, and he stopped, and he would go away to recharge, to be contemplative. All right, and fifthly, the contemplative heart can be vulnerable to seclusion from fellow believers. And as I said, it doesn't mean that people that are prayer warriors and don't like people. They just need that quiet time. But there is that vulnerability of seclusion from fellow believers. They may at times, people wired like this may at times feel out of touch with the rest of the body of Christ. And that's what I said. It's like they may sometimes go, golly, why isn't anybody else passionate about this, passionate about bearing down in prayer? Anybody still relating? Their connection with God through these prayer warriors, these contemplatives, their connection with God usually leads to bless the body of Christ, to bless the church. As they connect with God and as they're being prayerful, there's usually a blessing in store for the church through that. We've got 3 more weeks where we're going to be talking about different ways to connect with God. So far we've talked about the relational and then the creation heart and then today the contemplative. I hope that this will help us grow. You know, one of the things, Cheryl and I, we are certified Myers-Briggs, what do they call it? Not test givers. Certified Myers-Briggs something. The personality test where you can tell you, we were trained in that and where you can identify how you're wired. And one of the things that helped me and it's a similar concept to what we're talking about with this series. One of the things that helped me was to realize how Cheryl and I are wired differently. Deadlines, Cheryl gets really nervous, dare I say, possibly even irritable, if the deadline is approaching and she's not, hadn't got all her ducks in a row. Me, man, the deadline energizes me. I'm like, I got all week to do that. The closer it gets to the deadline, I'm like, I'm on my game now. I got to have this ready by 8:00 in the morning. I'm on my game. She's running around and her hair's probably on fire running around the house if she isn't ready and it's due in the morning. So I bring that up to say one of the things that helped me learning that about myself was I used to think that other pastors are like, yeah, I've got my sermons written for the next year, and yeah, I've got that all mapped out and everything. And I used to think, what a slob and a loser you are, Jeff Hatcher. And I didn't realize that, no, I'm just wired differently. Deadlines energize me. And so we need to understand who we are, how God has created us, and it helps us. God has created us uniquely, even in our connection with Him uniquely. And it doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. It just means we're different. Isn't that wonderful? We're not all thumbs, but the body's got a thumb, right? I think it's a real blessing that God has created us that way. And what's so beautiful is when you put the body together, how it can function. And I've said this before, but if you ever have a paper cut on your thumb and you try to button your trousers, it doesn't work too good. You know, with your fingers, and you're like, oh, how do you do that? Or button your shirt without a thumb. It's hard. But God's created us that way. And Jesus knows that about us. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so we're going to partake in God's Holy Communion this morning. We're going to do the liturgy this morning. I invite you to try to find a hymnal in front of you. It's also going to be on the screen. Page 12 of the hymnal, it's also be on the screen. Christ, our Lord, invites to His table all who love Him. I want to ask you, church, do you love Him?
Yes.
You're invited. And who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you earnestly repent of your sin?
Yes.
You are invited. And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will pray your own personal prayer of confession before our holy God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. If you will go over to the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ,
that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Christ our Lord has invited us to his table. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you repent of your sins, you're welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church to come and partake. If you also have the freedom to not come and be served, if you choose not to do that, I hope you feel welcome to do that. There will be two stations here and two stations here. Invite you to come forward. The trays are on the table. The self-contained elements are there. If you will retrieve your elements and go ahead and exit the front of the line, there's trash cans in the center and on each end that you can discard your waste there after you've partaken. I probably shouldn't have to say this, but open the bread first. It works better if you do the bread first. You don't, you're good. So the invitation is from Christ. It's his table. Come.
all who are thirsty. All who are weak, just come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life, the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the wave of His mercy. As the deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
God says to know that He is God. One of the ways we do that is to be still. Can we try that this week? Be still and know that He is God. We have good news, church. We have news the world needs. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
All who are thirsty. Come to the fountain. If your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As the deep cries out to deep, we sing, come,
Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set us the example by being baptized Himself, and He said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.